Welcome to the Fatty Z Muskie Podcast. I'm Andy. Joined on the phone, I've got Todd. Hi, Todd.
I'm here. Shoot him in the leg, boys.
I was waiting for that. And we have Ryan Reed. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Oh, longtime listener, first time caller. Well, now you're on it. I was on your show.
I know. I'm pumped, man. I'm pumped to get back. This is my second opportunity on the AZ podcast. So I'm fired up tonight.
Nice.
Well, good. Well, yeah, I mean, fun. I gave you so much heads up on it.
That's all right. I'm used to adjusting on the fly.
Yeah, I mean, initially, I'm not going to talk about it initially. Let's just get right into stuff. So, hey, Ryan, is there anything you want to plug?
I don't think so. I mean, I think the biggest thing would be Muskie Max, which I think that's our plan to talk about tonight anyway.
That's right. That's right. And at the Muskie Max, come check out the Fat AZ Muskie booth. And yeah, we've got some cool stuff. Todd did some painting. I mean, did anyone, Ryan, did you see the professional meme that I made?
I don't know that I saw that one, Andy.
Okay, that's all right. Todd, I know you saw it.
But yeah.
I liked it. It was a reference to Happy Gilmore. But anyways, this just past week on Facebook, I was putting up different paint patterns and various other stuff leading up to Muskie Max week like we tend to do. But anyways, the meme was professionally done. Anyone, please go and check it out because I'm very proud of it. It took me about 30 seconds to do. And I did it on my phone with my fingertip. It was the part where Happy Gilmore was sinking putts with Shooter McGavin there. And it says, Happy learned how to putt, except I scratched it out and said I put Todd learned how to paint. Todd knocked it out of the park on this last go around.
Okay, so I have no, I'm not claiming that I've ever been, or maybe I will be in the future, but Andy liked them. I was happy with them. I do not claim to be a painter. I'm over there monkeying around. I'm fumbling around in the booth and trying to squirt some paint on some lures. It's layering. It's not that big of a deal, but I feel that if I did it more, I could get better. But hey, I don't claim to be a painter, but there are some Todd Yorgs going to be there. And fish catching colors. That's what I like painting.
I think they were great.
I got to say, I love the Todd York lineup. I get a number of the Raptors, and I know I've talked to you guys about it a lot. Like, that's one of my, probably my go-to casting bait. And I've got a pretty wide variety now. I think I've got, I don't know that I have one that Todd painted. So that's on my list for the show for this year, for sure.
Okay. Well, we've got a whole bunch. See, the neat thing is, and Ryan, I'm sure you can do this, like, and this is not a new topic, but you could take the same bait, pick any bait, and you could have the various local builders all paint the same pattern, and you could probably, with a high degree of accuracy, know who painted what. And I'm getting a reading on if I see something that's a Todd paint.
Hopefully they have teeth marks. That's what I like.
Well, you got to fish them first, but right now but they haven't been fished yet. So let's just talk about that. No, I think so. You know, and a lot of times, all the way up until the last painting event that Todd did, I was always somewhat around. And when I say somewhat around, I kind of purposely was in the area in case, you know, I hit a snag. I don't know what to do here, like equipment-wise. But this last time, I didn't get a call or a text that he was here. I didn't get a call or a text that he left. It was showed up, murdered, and then left. So I think that's good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of shows you're spreading your wings. And no, mm-hmm. But I think it's neat because the patterns that Todd you're bringing, you know, they might be kind of classic patterns or something you've, you know, have in your head. it's fresh from the standard of what I'm just used to. So that's kind of a neat thing. So
I think it's a cool thing to have, just like when you talk about fish catching bait colors, like, I don't know, there's so many different paint varieties out there. You know, there's all these crazy patterns. I think there's something to be said about, you know, just straight up fish catching baits. Like, there's something about just holding like a standard, like brown perch type bait versus like some of these other crazy colors. It's just gives you the feels.
The other ones you're going to catch fish too, but I mean, why change what's working, you know? And I added some paint. I did a couple paints that I had Dale paint for me years ago. I mean, you can go back. We've talked about all that many times. Goldie, not that Dale made Goldie. It's an old Hedden color. The silver shiner, I think everybody, silver soccer people are calling it. You know, that was one. And then there was an emerald shiner that I had Dale do years ago for me. And, you know, I catch a ton of fish on those. So now we got some in Tough Shads. Last year we crushed them on the Raptors in that color. And, that's what I like trying to do. You know, some old patterns from wherever I've seen them. Leos or, you know, old Heddens. And I just have try to make stuff that I know that catches fish.
Yeah. Anyways, I wanted to highlight Todd has a lot of baits that he painted, and I don't think that there's going to be a bench warmer series anymore. They're going to go on the rack.
That's nice.
That was fun. The bench warmers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was fun. Absolutely. I mean, when did we start that? 2020? You just saw it.
Probably give
19
or 20.
I guess 20 would have been COVID. Yeah, when Vance and I both painted up some lures and we donated it, and it was fun, and made a little money for the clubs and stuff. Yeah, but it's gone to the point where we both started painting. So hey,
I gotta say something about that, because that's one thing. Like, I'll speak for at least part of my friend group, like the things that you guys do with some of that stuff, like the bench warmers and donating to the club, like that's super appreciated. Like, I know a lot of us are kind of really invested in Muskies Inc. and our local chapter, and we try to turn it into something that, you know, it's kind of open arms to people that want to get into the sport and try to have that culture of just like, everybody's just cool hanging out, telling fish stories at meetings and things like that. And, you know, it does a lot for the fishery, and for you guys to do that, like leading the way with the podcast and some of that stuff, it's super cool. So I don't know that I've ever really got a chance to thank you guys for that stuff, but that's really appreciated. I know a lot of people appreciate that.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, you know, and we had a lot of fun with this podcast, pushing Muskies Inc. and doing things with the, it was a big part of what we did through a lot of these shows. Because it's a big part of muskie fishing, you know. Without Muskies Inc., it does a lot for the muskie fishing community. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know exactly like what kind of impact we have. With this show, I tried to just make this be a laid back hangout. Not everything has to be an extreme, because I've noticed a trend when the people that are starting to get into musky fishing, it tends to be late teens, early 20s ish, you know, like, and you're just full of spunk and you're going to conquer the biggest fish of freshwater, you know, whatever. And You kind of get those personalities, and those are the ones that kind of are like the sand in the underwear, because behind the scenes, having, you know, doing the baits and stuff now for like 13 years, this is going to your point, Ryan, is like everyone's chill and hanging out. Like at the Muskie Max and stuff, when it's slow, it's like all the vendors just kind of melt into each other, and they're just sitting there BSing and asking, you know, telling stories and how's stuff going. And it's not this extreme me against you kind of thing that you know, early on, I saw a lot of that, like fighting, jockeying for positions. And, you know, prior to recording, you said it best. This is fun. This should be fun. And that kind of always is like, well, I'm having fun. And if I wasn't, I wouldn't be doing it. And we're in a good spot now to lead by good example. Let's show that you can still have fun and be laid back and still, you know, go after a difficult task. But also, you can't just take this for granted, because these are the glory days. Like, as much as you want to look back, you know, back however far back in history you want to go, I don't think you're going to have a better time, you know, learning how and having opportunity, especially in the state of Pennsylvania. And I think it, you know, all of us should have at least a little part of that. And I'm going to say, you know, that Muskie stamp, that's a huge thing. That's like a normal person's contribution, you know, if you're in PA. And
it's mixed to me, Andy, because, you know, there's also, I mean, look at the opportunities. Look at the, you know, 20 years ago, there wasn't all this stuff on the internet and Facebook and all these 900 different lure makers all over the place. I can see it getting really overwhelming for someone trying to get into it, you know, and trying to just bring it back to reality. You know, these are not like, you know, if you put your time in and you learn a little bit on your own, it's not that hard of a sport to get involved in, but you can get caught up in the rigmarole of Facebook and this lure and $500 lures and $300 lures, and it could be very overwhelming to someone, you know. So I think there's mixed, you know. I didn't have a lot of choices when I started, and I still use some of those baits. I still use my Wileys all the time because that's the lures I could get, and I catch fish on them, and I continue to. Now, man, you know, look at this show. Andy and I, we talked about this the other day. Look at the show. I look at the booths. Over half of those booths, those people were not involved in muskie fishing 10 years ago.
Right.
And so there's so many more choices, you know. And just, you know, learn your stuff, learn your tackle, learn what you're doing, and don't get overwhelmed. And you don't have to have every lure from every single guy. None of these guys are making a magic bait.
I am.
Learn it. Learn got a good rod holder, easy rod holder. But and if you really want to learn, you can go with Muddy Creek Fishing Guides. I'll take you. Yeah, we got to get our plugs in a little bit. But I've done it for 1,000 people. I think it would be hard to take a step back. But, like, Ryan, you're kind of new in it. Were you overwhelmed at one point? I can remember you telling a story about going with Dan to the first show, and he paid like $30 for a bait, and you saying, "You're freaking crazy, $30
oh, yeah.
for four."
Oh yeah, I mean that was eye opening to me. And I like, yeah. I mean, I've been fishing for muskies for a little bit longer now. You know, yeah. I think the first couple years with Dan, like I really, it was like a 1-3 times a year type deal. Mm-hmm. Just kind of getting out there, and it wasn't like, you know, not full time, but, you know, chasing muskies, like that's all I do. Like I stopped bass fishing, stopped walleye fishing. I was still doing a lot of other stuff, but I can remember going to the Butler High School, and Dan took me, and it was like, man, I mm-hmm. talked to like Greg Thomas, and I was looking at these rods, and I'm looking at all these baits, and I'm like, this is crazy. But it didn't really have an impact until that first max. And it was exactly that. Like, I think, you know, Dan was buying some Leos and some other things, and I'm just looking at these prices, and I'm like, what if I want to do this? Like, where do I even start?
I'm like, never going to financially recover.
No. And the other thing is, like, there's so many baits out there. Like, what I found myself doing was buying stuff because it looked cool, and then I ended up not knowing how to use it. You know, it's like you go through all this stuff, and you're like, man, I'm gonna buy this bait. You know, I remember, like, there was a booth at that first max that had some of Brian Boyer's, like, the little squirts that he used to make, the cordies and stuff like that. And I can remember Dan being like, you need to get this lure for Canada, like these two lures right here. And I'm like, even the Cordy I was looking at, I'm like, I don't even know that I've ever used anything that big. And that's a small bait. It's just the perception was way different. It was like, you look at a perch bait and you're like, what the heck are these people doing? Mm-hmm. You know, and that was a struggle for me, man, because I spent a lot of money trying to figure this out. And I could tell you guys, like, honestly, I don't think I truly felt comfortable with my spread until after fishing with guys like Todd. You know, Todd, like when Dan and I fished with you that first time, I was kind of like, oh, okay, I see what he's doing. Like, he's got his confidence baits. And then, like, I fished with other guys too. You know, I fished with, like, Doug Manasco, and then I fished with Todd Leopardi a good bit. And it kind of, like, all the guys that I fished with, like, everybody I fished with in the club, like Evan Shaw, Charlie Mueller, those guys, like, I've taken a little bit of everything from everybody I fished with. And what it's done is it kind of allowed me to find a comfort zone and really, like, get into a program trolling where I've got, you know, my set baits that I feel comfortable with. I know where everything's at, you know, in the column. And it's just a confidence thing. And it took me a really long time to get there, you know, the last 5, 6, 7 years. I just don't know that, you know, guys like, I don't know if you guys talked to a lot of new muskie fishermen at Max last year, but it was it could have been 20 or more guys that we talked to just getting into the sport. It totally blew my mind, you know, and they're going through the same thing I went through, which is the same thing we all go through.
I went through it. I mean, I have a hard time selling stuff. So I've just got these corners where I keep stashing it. I mean, like selling my own personal stuff. Obviously, I sell a bunch of baits, but these aren't the ones that I remember. Like, I got this here, and it gives that your brain that little drip of dopamine that's just like, oh, I can't let this one go.
Yeah, Ryan. I mean, tell me if I think I know what you're going to say here, but you have fished with a lot of these other guys that are taking people out on trips. Same as the first time we went, and I know I took Dano right before you guys caught when you got your first muskie, and I took him out, and I know, like, the next time I got a message from him, he said, I just brought my buddy up here, he got his first muskie, and he was like, he's excited, man, thanks, you know. But would you say, here, and this is where I'm getting it, all these baits, all these different guys, which, you know, pick any of them, but would you say, I mean, you know, when you fish with me, I mean, it's not like I'm reeling in and changing baits every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You're running stuff. You know, you've got that confidence in the baits that we're running. And I would guess that that's the way most of those guys you're fishing with are doing the same thing. You know, they know how deep these baits are going. They know which ones. You might change a color here and there, but I mean, it's not like just a free for all. Like, oh, they're not hitting this one. They're not hitting this one. They're not hitting this one. Would you say that that's, you know, pretty true? These guys are sticking with their program.
Oh yeah, man. And I'll be honest with you. Like, Dan and I, the first couple years, like, I changed baits like every 10 minutes. You know, I was like, man, this one sucks. Or I don't know what this is doing. And or I'm like, this color, I'm not feeling this color. You know, it's one of those things where you're like, you know, just whatever. Look at the water color. I had no idea. I had no idea what I was doing. And, you know, it's like, it's okay though, because you got to have the time to learn, and you got to have the patience with yourself, especially with muskies. Like, that's the one thing I learned. Like, again, like Andy, you said it too. Like, we don't do this because we want to, you know, thump our chest or anything like that. We do this because it's supposed to be fun. You know, it's the challenge of it. And I think Todd, to your point, like, yeah, I think that's the biggest change that I made, you know, fishing with you and seeing the way you fish and the way you stick it out with your bait selection and some of the other guys too. And that's given me confidence to know, you know what, there isn't a magic bait. And this is about, you know, putting out colors that you're comfortable with and you're confident in, and running, you know, baits that you're comfortable and confident in. And when the fish go, they're going to go. And, you know, this fall was the thing. Like, I wanted Dan to catch a muskie on my boat last year so bad. Like, we've had so many fun days on the water. He's like one of my best friends. He lives like 2 miles from me. We've spent a lot of time out there, and we've had a lot of rough days. And, like, man, it was, like, one of my goals. Like, I wanted to just have Dan catch a fish on my boat. Like, one of those things where I'm, like, out there doing my thing. And we just, you know, we had a – we ended up with, like, I think we went 5 for 6. And I looked at the spread, and we were running the same baits that I've been running all year.
Yeah.
You know, it's like yep. And you just change a couple things, whether it's speed or whatever. And, man, it's – I can tell you – I can honestly sit here and tell you guys, like, that was the biggest adaptation that I made that's helped me catch more fish. And it's mostly just finding what you're comfortable with and sticking to it. And I do think it's challenging for guys at these shows like Muskie Max. Like, you know, especially when you have relationships with guys, you want to walk in and buy one of everything. Well, I think that's kind of doing yourself a disservice at times because, you know, like if you're new and you're not spending the time to learn a bait, like you're just going to constantly be switching stuff out and not truly know what that thing's doing and what the application is.
Yeah. Yep, that you're going to be overwhelmed. And just like you said there, I mean, the biggest thing is that the biggest thing for these guys to look at, these guys are getting into it, is like, I'm going to say, you know, the depth. So depth in two different things. What depth of water are you fishing and where are you putting these baits?
Yep.
And then you can throw any of these baits in these guidelines. Those are the keys that are going to get successful days. How deep of water are you fishing and how deep are you putting that bait in that water column? You figure that out and you know where your baits are running, that's where you're going to get – that's going to give you the successful days. It's not going to be the particular bait. Now, there are days – we've talked about that many times. There's days –
the magic wood.
I can talk about a day that I had 10 bites on one lure and I ran a 6-broad spread the whole day. That was one day out of thousands, you know. Was it coincidence? I don't know. It didn't follow up the next day. We'll put it that way. But so it's more of what you're doing, and it's easy to get. I mean, it's neat to talk with you, Ryan, because I know now you've been at it, you know, 6 or 8 years probably. But I know when you started, this was all going on. The Muskie Max, 65 vendors, people selling baits of all shapes, sizes, price range, colors, and man, I know it's overwhelming to the new guys that I take out. Like, they'll show up in my boat and they've bought a few baits and they're just overwhelmed.
Yeah. I don't want to say that it's stressful because it shouldn't be, but I'll tell you what too, like whenever you feel like there's a hot bait and you just like need it, because that's the other thing that happens. It's almost like, I don't want to say FOMO, but like you walk into these shows and like you see all these posts and all this stuff all over social media, and like whether even if it's like a new color of a Raptor, and guys are just like, man, like we need that, like we have to. And it's like for when you're kind of like a vendor, you're like in the show doing stuff, like if that's in your head and that's on your mind and you're like committed to that, it can be friggin' stressful, especially if you're on the outside of it standing in line. And you like, you got your set, like, I need this color and this bait, this thing, that thing. I feel like
the anticipation, the anxiety building up, like, okay, here's my map. Because I've never was general attendance at the Muskie Max, but I was for years at the Ohio show, and like I would go down and like, I'm going to say like maybe one time I had someone go with me, because you know, it was, to me, it was kind of stressful. It was, I timed my arrival to be just right before Jim Sarek would talk. I wouldn't go to Jim Sarek's talk, but I knew that the place would be empty when Jim was doing his presentation. And that's when I'd do like, okay, I have enough time to do one lap through here, make sure everything's where I need it. Then when he's talking, I got to buy everything and get out. So, you know, because, you know, I drive 3.5 hours one way to spend an hour and a half there and then have to leave so I can be home in time for whatever. I don't even remember. But I would do that for years. And it was stressful. And it was like, okay, I got to make sure all of this is right and what have you. But now on the other side, it's like, now you got plenty of time, unless you're after that one hot thing. But, you know, I don't know. it's not necessary.
What a professional clutch move that was.
Andy, that's a good way to plan it. I mean, at that point, you're going to have time to talk to the vendors.
Yeah.
You know, when the guys are speaking, there's not that many people there. I mean, that's a neat.
It was empty.
Telling me that you used to do that. And I totally forgot about you saying that.
No, but I mean, but it was one of those, it's like there was nobody there walking the aisles.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very easy shopping at that point. So, anyways, that's my advice. So, oh, well.
Yeah, I do think you kind of like, and the one thing I've noticed too, just fishing the last couple of years, I've kind of eased into a lot of this stuff too. Like, I'm not as stressed at shows. Like, I just have so many lures now that I can't even fish them all in a year. You know, I don't fish that much. So, you know, I was talking about this like yesterday. It's like, I barely have a list for this year. Like some of us will like sit down and write out a list of what bait you want to buy. And you just kind of, I know Dan does this. He started me on it. We kind of sit there and like tweak, and we're talking, you know, texting each other throughout the night. It's like, did you see that? Did you see that color Andy painted or whatever it is? It's like, but I don't know. I think gradually that kind of just kind of, I think it dissipates, and you just kind of mm-hmm. start realizing like, you know, it's really not that big of a deal. And if you get, you know, a targeted bait or something, that's super cool. If not, you know, the show has so many different aspects to it. I think a lot of it that I'm looking forward to this year is being able to talk to guys and just, again, like hear stories and catch up with people. And that's the other thing. Like, I'm really thankful that doing videos like through YouTube, that's kind of really given me an opportunity to like establish relationships with guys and, you know, fishing with them and things like that. But the show is, it's such a cool thing to be able to stand in a room full of people and just hang out and talk about muskies. Like, I wish we could do more, and I wish there were more shows that I could get to, but, you know, Max is like real special to me. I love that aspect, being able to roll up to the booth and talk to Todd about the season and, you know, see what's going on, check out all the baits and stuff like that. It's just, I don't know. I love this show, man. It's like one of my favorite things throughout the year.
It's like Christmas.
It is for Andy and I too. I mean, we look forward to it. We look forward to it financially. I do. you know, we usually move a lot of product down there, and it's a very important part of what we do. The Muskie Max. So new venue this year at a mall. We'll see how it goes. I don't see why it would be any different than any other shows. I know the Muskie guys like things to be set in stone, and we go here. And I know I really thought, I don't where I'm even going.
I'm a creature of habit and pattern.
Habit, yeah. Here, I know I'm going to park here. I know my booth's here. So we'll learn that over again. But what do you do?
I'm going to go to the cheapest hotel that has uneven floors in the hallway, but that's okay. I can lock the door.
So yeah, we got a new venue. So, but I'm looking. You know, I know we're all looking forward to it. I'm sure it'll be great. Those guys promote it, and
Sean has always done a bang up job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, having the show in a different place. Like, yeah, it was really comfy where we were at. I loved it. I liked the floor. But what was it? It was at some hotel in Butler the first year, and then it moved to that. What's that?
I grew up. I love that one. I grew up there, so I mean it's right there. I hunt within a mile of there. I grew up. My house was within 4 miles of there. I grew up there. I loved it when it was there. But they outgrew the place, and then you go to somewhere else. And
it was another hotel. But like the following day, it was getting tore down or something.
Well, that was the one up by the mall. They did it at Cranberry a while there, and it was a Sheraton, and they turned it to a Hilton. And then they told Sean that the price was three times as much as it was because it was a Hilton now. And he's like, well, we can't do a show here. And they moved to that one up by the airport. So it's moved. And I really loved that last place, standing on that grass, AstroTurf. But I guess they turned it back into an ice rink, so they don't do shows there anymore.
I would not want to be standing on that for a whole weekend.
Hey, you got to roll with it. What do you do? You know, these guys are trying to do something, promotes a show. You got to get, as I said last time, Andy, when we talked, I mean, there shouldn't be any idea with parking. I know a lot of places parking was always an issue. We got a whole mall now, so that could be good.
You're going to see a whole, like, Sears parking lot full of, like, musky stickers on the back of beat-up SUVs and trucks.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even really think about that part of it. I'll be honest with you guys. Dano and I took a little ride last weekend just down to Washington to check out that area and kind of walked through the mall and just kind of checked it out. And it was kind of funny because we ended up running into Sean, and he was in there kind of working on the space.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you think about it?
And knowing the backstory of all this, it does help to kind of understand what's going on. You know, I think it's important because, like you guys said, like I think we were all super comfortable at Princegate, and you almost kind of feel like, I mean, this show means a lot to a lot of people, you know, whether it's selling baits or, you know, spending the weekend and, you know, you get used to that venue with it the way it was. It was super cool. Like even the veranda and things like that, just being able to kind of stand over the show and just see it. You know, I was doing time lapses of that, and that's something I don't know that I'll be able to do this year. But I agree, Andy. I think, you know, it is what it is. Like Sean had to deal with that venue and the change in direction. And I know Sean always has a plan, and, you know, he does the marketing thing for a living. You know, he plans events and he knows what he's doing. And I think it's just a matter of kind of finding the right place. You know, is this mall, is it going to work out? I think it will. I think based on what I saw, I'll be honest, I was skeptical. I had some, you know, concerns about the initial floor plan layout and things like that. But, you know, again, Sean had a plan, and he was able to kind of capture some retail space that's going to give us an opportunity to lock things up and keep it condensed. And I don't know if he's put anything out on this or not, but, you know, I talked to him last Saturday and he had some ideas for putting some tables out in the hallway for like food area and just kind of expanding some of the space. And even though that space is a little smaller than Princegate, looking at the floor plan, I think it's going to be fine. And whether or not that's a permanent home, I don't know that. I'd be curious to see how this weekend goes. Be curious to see how many people come and show up, because based on what he's saying about the marketing campaign, like this should be or could be a very big show. And that may dictate, you know, a new venue next year, you know, if he brings in a lot more people. So
yep.
I don't know. I think it's interesting, and it's not Princegate, you know, but it's still Musky Max, and I'll stand to this, like any Max is better than no Max. Because the year that we didn't have it because of COVID, the one thing I'll tell you is it sucked. And I would rather have a show somewhere than no show at all. And I have confidence in Sean. I know he knows what he's doing. He always has a good plan. And I think this year will be interesting to see it, but I think the potential for it to be a successful show is there.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, you know, if he can generate some new people like he always does, I mean, if anyone's really interested in going and they plan on going down there to pick up baits or talk to someone or book a guide trip, because it's at a different venue, it's not going to hold those people back. They're going to go. People are going to go, no matter where it's at. You know, from Butler to Washington, they've spanned over a, you know, 70-mile area now. People are going to show up if they want to get stuff. So hopefully we can get some new people in there and new blood and new guys that want to buy a bunch of baits, right?
Hopefully, right?
Yeah.
I did. I was curious about some of these other shows because I haven't really, you know, I did New York this year. I did Ohio last year. I do Max. I've done Chicago, but I haven't really like gone to any of these other shows. And I was just kind of asking opinions of like how have the shows gone? And from what I've been told by a lot of different people, it was the same thing. It was like a lot of these shows were just like a steady flow of people. It wasn't like that big rush. And everybody I've talked to said like Max has the best rush out of any show in the country. And everybody, for the first couple hours.
Yeah.
So be curious to see how that is this year.
Yeah, see if that happens again. A lot of that certain bait makers being there, certain people having certain baits or something. It folds. But yeah, that's amazing to me. When I always go out, right, I always go out and try to use the restroom right before the show starts, and I walk out there and there are people in that Princecape. Well, you and Dano used to show up in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's how you got a Baker.
People were lined up and up the hall, and I'm like, wow, these people are ready to roll. That's neat.
You know, we actually probably have you guys to blame for that, now that I think about it. I lost a lot of sleep over getting in line at midnight for Bakers.
You're welcome. Shows.
Yeah, thanks for that. But
a Goldie Baker.
Yeah, it's all about Goldie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were some crazy years on those Goldie Bakers.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of them. I mean, even like you guys, I mean, Mud Puppy, I mean, that's like, that was the other one. Yeah, it was like hearing you guys talk about Mud Puppy all those years. And, you know, I just, man, I don't know. Like, it's weird. Like, we used to get in line for stuff like that. And I can't tell you guys how many memories we made just like hanging out in the parking lot. I know that sounds terrible, but just taking snacks and food and camping out there, you know, we had a real close relationship with the guy that drove the Zamboni at Princecape for a couple of years. You know, it's kind of curious why we were sitting in his parking lot, but
yeah, that's, well, I guess it's that time of year. See you guys soon. All right, yeah, I mean, I don't have a, you know, relationship with the Zamboni driver, but, you know, there was this one show we went to where what's his name? Sergio from Chicago. Todd, you remember Sergio?
Trying to remember. Was that the Bobbin with Bades guy?
No, Sergio was the guy at the hotel that, like, everywhere we turned.
Oh, yeah, I do remember. Yeah.
So, yeah, some of that stuff, and you know, as much as I like have the high hopes to go out in the Midwest, there's something about the hometown crowd, and that's why like the Muskie Max is always going to be number one, and yeah, so I mean you're right, it's always special. It was weird when we didn't have it that year or two. Was it 2 years or just one?
We just missed one. Things shut down like the day we got home from that show.
That was in 2020. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember Sean called me to tell me like the one was canceled. And I remember how I remember this phone call. It's not like, you know, I have that great of a memory when people call me, but I had just shot a doe and my phone rings and it's Sean. And I'm like, hey, what's up? And he was telling me that, hey, it's got canceled. So,
yep.
But yeah.
Yeah, because we did that show at Muskie Max, and I know I came home, and like on Tuesday of that Tuesday when we got home, I was like, hey, Kara, you know, my daughter, you don't have school tomorrow or the rest of the week
or the rest of the year
or till next year. Yeah. We didn't know that part of it till, yeah. Yeah. But,
and that was that 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's insane that it's been that long. I feel like we lost a year in there, too. Like, I just completely erased it out of my memory. I have no idea what happened.
Yeah.
I can tell you I was shipping more product that year than I ever dreamt possible.
All fishing stuff, yeah.
Fishing stuff. It was off the hook.
Yeah.
That's a horrible pun, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
But
oh, nice, yeah.
So is there anything special this year, Ryan, that you're looking for at the Muskie Max?
No, I mean, I kind of talked, just doing one of our podcasts. I was talking about, we kind of go through our wish list and things like that. And I was talking about my list this year, and I'll be honest with you guys. Like, I got a couple things on there. Like a couple Raptors. I got maybe one Leo. I got some of Dale's stuff on there. But this year for me, it just feels so different. And I think it's because of what we were talking about earlier. Like, I just have so many lures now, you know, and I just, there's nothing that I really need. Because going back to what Todd was talking about, like, I finally found that comfort zone with my spread, and I feel good about what I'm doing trolling. And I don't really need anything. But what I want to focus on this year and do a better job of is trying to do a video for the show. And the video I did for New York was probably, that was probably the, I would say, hardest edit I've ever done, just because I had so many issues with it, and the footage, it was the most footage I've ever taken at a show. And I kind of want to do that same thing for Mac. So instead of running around buying stuff up, I really want to just kind of take it in, focus on the video, and try to put out like a good recap of just what Max is, and just kind of show like how much it means to me, because that, it might sound cheesy, but like, this is like my weekend. Like, I love everything about this weekend. And when I do these videos, like, I want other people to see that. So if they're trying to get into the sport, they can experience it too. And, you know, I want people to know what you can get out of it, whether it's a seminar or, again, talking to Todd about a trip, you know, scheduling trips and picking people's brains. Like, it's just a great weekend to learn and get acclimated to the sport. So my focus is going to be on video this year. I'm hoping to do everything I can to put out a good recap and try not to spend too much money this go around.
So I know last year was your first year in the new boat, right? First year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know you had I'm sure you had a lure that probably hardly ever came off. I don't remember.
Yeah.
It was a Leo Mojo. What color was your Mojo?
That's a float perch.
Float perch. Yeah. I knew you had a lure. So yeah. So if you're running six, it doesn't take long. You got your boat. You got your setup. You got that one. You probably ran that almost every time you were out there. You know. So now you're down to five. You have a couple others that you might play with. That's good stuff. That's when you know you're
maturing in your journey to be a muskie fisherman.
Yeah,
when you're, you know, at this point, you know, I've only been to the New York show so far. I got to get through this weekend. I have not bought a bait for myself. So
you got to get on that, Andy. You got to get on
that. The deer don't eat muskie baits.
No, that's true.
Well, I mean, they put up a heck of, I mean, if you think a muskie can pull, you just, you get some trebles through the back of one of them whitetails and hold on.
180-pound three-year-old, you're going to have to hold on, yeah.
Yeah, you better be quick on that dragger. It's going to spool you.
Maybe the eye screws wouldn't hold on that one.
Yeah, you got to play them good, because they don't tire very quick, and they go ballistic in the net.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see it now. Can we do a field study on this?
I don't want this filmed.
Yeah. Catch and release.
You know, they say, you know, that's like the big thing with your deer tag is like, yeah, if I could just kind of catch and release it, well, you can. It's a little tougher.
Yeah.
Straightening hooks.
I've done a few hit and releases. That was the reason why I stopped bow hunting, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I did a few of those.
You try not to, but, you know, sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
I was that buck fever, man. I could never get it under control. I don't know if it's just me or, I mean, even the show, I get, like, really ramped up for things that make me happy. And to me, there was, like, nothing better than sitting out on a tree, like, in a tree, like, 12, 15 feet up and just crisp, cool fall morning. Like, I love that. I absolutely love that whole thing. But
when something came, all hell broke loose in your mind, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I control myself and that's part of this outdoor stuff that we do, whether it's hunting or fishing, the anticipation, I have to do it every year, turkeys, and I shoot turkeys every year. And I've been doing it since I was a kid. But I get so excited that I have to calm myself down and, like, okay, don't screw it up. We've done this 50 times. make the shot, you know, and bow hunting, rifle hunting, it's all the same, fishing, you know, don't mess it up. No need a horse, and let's just get them in the boat.
It's not over till it's over.
But yeah, and that's the passion that everybody that's into all this stuff that we talk about and do, you know, and if you lose that, if I'd lose that in life, I don't know what I'd have left to look forward to, you know.
It'd be pretty dull, I could tell you that.
Sounds sad, yeah, but truly, you know, look at your life, Andy. Kids and family and everything's great, but man.
You need that. You need that little carrot that keeps you moving.
Yes.
Well, great. Is there anything else you guys want to add about Muskie Max? Because this is kind of the Muskie Max show.
Yep. I'm good, man. Forward to it.
I'm excited about is that Dave's Barbecue. Why can't I think of the name of that right now? But Sean has a good vendor coming down for food, getting some brisket this weekend, maybe some pulled pork.
Ooh, okay.
Looking forward to that. I think he's going to have, like, I don't know if he said it was a 48-foot truck, like a food truck. It's like a kitchen on wheels. So I'm curious to see how that is. You know, that's like, like food is a huge deal for me at these shows because I got sugar and I got to watch. But if I don't eat for a period of time, and you know how shows are, like if I go in there and I'm running around for 4 or 5 hours, I got to get food in me or I'll hit the deck. So,
well, yeah. Well, Andy and I don't have to deal with that, I guess. I'm glad, but I totally understand we're out there because we often don't eat the whole time. But,
well, Todd, do you remember what I brought to New York as my breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
You know, my daughter's still talking about that.
It impacted her that much?
Well, we had some snacks, and we went and got sandwiches, but you were good. But so here's what Andy ate. Is it okay if I tell this story, Andy?
I don't care.
A thing of Oreos.
Mega stuff. It. They have to be the mega stuffed.
Mega stuffed Oreos. He had it the whole time. Wouldn't eat. I think I took some deer stick. You did grab a couple of those.
On Sunday, I did.
On Sunday, yeah. The second day. But up until that point, you stayed at your camp, which has your water's not on probably.
I didn't want to unwinterize camp.
Yeah, fire things up. We did the same thing. But I had a wife and a daughter there, and believe me, they have to eat. So we had to go get breakfast and this and that. But Andy ate Oreos for a day and a half.
That's actually impressive.
Mountain Dew to wash it down.
Mountain Dew. That's that's the way to do it. If you're going to do it, you got to at least have the Mountain Dew right there with it.
Well, Doug Stanhope says, you know, just do excess in moderation. So... Why don't you just eat a week's worth of calories in one day, and then you're just going to coast?
You're good for the week, yeah. Thing of Oreo, double stuffed.
Mega stuffed, which is a triple stuff. You've got to understand the tiers of the stuffing.
I don't know what they are. So.
Mega is like better than double. Then they had the most stuffed, which is a limited time only, and I can't find them again.
Yeah, the mega, it's got to be the mega. I agree with you. It's got to be the mega. But, yep. Man, that is the breakfast, lunch, and dinner of champions right there.
Well, like the water boy, Bobby Boucher, I need tackling fuel.
On Sunday at like noon, he took a bite of a deer stick and his body went into.
My color came back.
It's like, it was coming in here.
Not just straight processed sugar.
Yeah.
Right. It's just sugar in different form. Is it going to be in a crispy black cookie, or is it going to be in the white creamy filling? Or
he took a bite, turned, coughed a couple times, and I was like, oh, Andy, you... the blood is flowing again through your body. I can see your...
it's just like there's no coloration to his skin at all. Just like...
Yeah, my pigment came back.
Yeah.
Like you could actually see the individual blood cells going through my veins. I turned transparent like a jellyfish.
Well, I'm glad you survived that one. That's
Well, I'm going to be doing it again. So,
oh no.
I got to stop at Dollar General and get me a two pack of Mega Stuffs.
I do think this show is going to be a good one. I think there's a lot of, I think there's going to be a lot of fun stuff there. There's some different, I think, Sean has at least one different, seminar lined up. Maybe talk a little fly fishing. I think that's going to be kind of cool for guys.
Man, but, it's getting popular. Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. And, I don't know, man. It's, where I told Andy before this, it's Musky Max Eve Eve. And I typically don't sleep, so we'll be there bright and early tomorrow morning. Dan and I will be helping Sean set up, kind of get the lay of the land, and it'll be fun. So looking forward to seeing you guys down there, getting a chance to hang out, pick up some baits, and yeah, I'm excited.
Oh, awesome. You should be. I'm excited too. I'm going to be showing up. It's probably, I think, a 2.5 hour drive. I'm going to try to get out of here right around 4 o'clock, so I'll be down there about 6:30 with one stop to Dollar General, and yeah, I there should be nothing in my way. So anyways, with that, anyone else want to add anything?
Good deal. MCFishingGuides.com. Get a hold of us, get you out there on the trip, get down to the show.
I got my charter schedule with Todd this year. I'm looking forward to that, buddy. It's been a couple of years since I've gotten out with you, so
yep, I'm super excited about it. I know you've done it, and I know you do it. The time of year you're going, our little trip, we're definitely going to be doing some running and gunning, some throwing some raptors. Looking forward to that.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Ryan, anything else you want to plug? I know you have other, you know, other things than just the Max that you want to do. But.
That's all right. I got it's Max week, man. I'm just doing this for fun. I'm really thankful to you guys for having me on tonight, giving me a chance to talk to you and having fun on the podcast. I really appreciate that. And I mean it when I tell you guys, I love the show. I know a lot of us do, and we're pumped to hear you guys back and at it. And looking forward to seeing what you guys come out with. And, yeah, just it's a good time to be a musky fisherman. So,
well, I think that said it best. Thank you very much. You're welcome. Thanks for joining us. And everyone listening, I hope, you know, with this warm weather, good luck fishing. I hope to see you this weekend at the Max.